Pastor Dave. Sunday morning, 23rd of November, 2025. Ephesians 6, verses 1-4. Part 15 of the series in Ephesians called Living Out God's Plan.
It's a short passage, but you will find it helpful to have in your Bible or on your phone in front of you. Why don't we bow our heads and pray that God would speak to us as he's spoken to the children. Father God, thank you that your word addresses each one of us, wherever we are, whatever our circumstance, whatever our family situation. Father, that we see the Lord Jesus putting the world back together, beginning with us. And Heavenly Father, we pray, would you put the world back together in our hearts because of what the Lord Jesus is doing this morning. And we pray, speak, challenge, encourage, shape, transform, make us more like the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, before our kids came along, before the kids came along, I thought it would be worthwhile to do a bit of thinking about parenting. So I went down to the library and I got a couple of books about parenting. I thought I'd get some ideas. What is this parenting thing all about? And I read one book and I thought, yeah, okay. And then I read the other book and I discovered that they completely contradicted each other. Not just a little bit, but we're totally different. And so I lost enthusiasm for researching parenting after that. But it can feel like that, can't it? If you're currently a parent of children rather than adult children, and you're trying to parent well, it can feel just really confusing. Loads of the time, I'd think, I don't know what I'm doing at all. I wish I could say, these verses will sort out all of your parenting problems. And I wish I could say, between these verses and the rest of the Bible, it will specifically tell you exactly what to do in any and every parenting situation, even the weird ones. That's not the case. The Bible gives us principles. What is the big picture of what we're trying to do? Why are we doing it? What is being a parent all about? And when we talk about parents here, the specific thing Paul's talking about here is those responsible for children who are not adults. So children under the direct care and control of parents. So he's not specifically talking here about parenting over 18s, but I think what he's saying is helpful for that. Okay. So for those of us who are parents, you're probably thinking, oh, great, I need a bit of help. Does that mean the rest of you can go to sleep? I hope not. Well, most of you are probably not parents of under 18s. Actually, between us, we've got parents and grandparents and even great-grandparents. We've got uncles and aunts and lots of friends. You heard the phrase, it takes a village to raise a child? I heard that phrase. Paul's writing this because it says it takes a church to raise a child. It takes a church to raise a child. And if you're a member of the church here, when you saw those children there, we are all involved in looking after them, in caring for them, in loving them and in supporting their parents. And being part of a community where we help and pray and support one another in parenting and grandparenting and loving and caring for the children amongst us. Remember when we have a Thanksgiving for a child and we say, do you as members of the church, as friends and family, support in the love and care for these children? And it is an invitation to overcome the kind of just me and my nuclear family, the sort of isolation of the modern world, that we are the church family. Well, what's Paul saying? You heard earlier, I hope you were listening. I hope you were listening to the command to children. And you heard that. But we're just looking at the second part. Parents, nurture your children in Jesus. Parents, nurture your children in Jesus. It's there in verse 4, isn't it? Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. But before we get into the detail, maybe you're just kind of wondering, well, why is Paul going on about this? I thought that the Bible is God's plan for the world. It's not a parenting manual. But the answer is that they come together. That God's plan for the universe finds its reality in my house, in your house, and your life. That Paul tells us these wonderful chapters of God's amazing plan of reconciliation, rescue, and redemption, moving sinners like us from death to life. God's plan to put the world back together. And now he says, this is what it looks like in your house and in your life. What does it mean to live day by day when Jesus is on the throne, filled with the Spirit, following God's example, living lives that are wise and not unwise? What does it look like? Parents, nurture your children in Jesus. That to be a Christian is not simply to come along on Sunday and sing some nice songs and have a biscuit and then go home. That to be a Christian is to have your personal universe reshaped. That God is on the throne, not you. That affects our work and our leisure and our marriage and our relationships and our parenting. And how we support those in the church who are parents of children. Parents, nurture your children in Jesus. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And did you see he's addressing fathers? Does that mean if you're a mother, you can switch off? No. But in the context that Paul is writing, fathers were seen as having the ultimate responsibility in the family. In fact, if we lived in a Roman household, the Roman father had the power of life and death over their children. That didn't belong to the government, that belonged to the father. Maybe our culture has swung really the other way, and sometimes it feels like mums just end up with all the responsibility for the children. And overall, the Bible picture is both father and mother, if both are there, to take responsibility for this. And if you're in a family where it's just you taking on the parenting responsibility, maybe your partner's not around, they're not willing, they're not able, then you really need our extra prayers and support, because parenting's rock hard, isn't it? It's really hard. I think if you're a single parent, it's extra hard. And we need our prayers in this. And what is parenting all about? What are we supporting in parents? Nurture your children in Jesus. It's easy, isn't it? As parents, it's really easy to get confused about this. It's easy as those supporting parents or grandparents or uncles or aunts to be confused that you hear all the different messages, don't you? We want our children to get a good education. We need to teach them and we need to get them to do their homework and to engage with school. We need to help our children to find themselves and establish their identity. We need to get our children to eat healthily. I was pleased some of them do like broccoli. Take heart. We need to get them to eat healthily and be active and play sport. We need to help them to have good friendships and make good relationships. We need to make sure they're obedient and know how to behave properly. And all of those things are good things. We do want our kids to be eating healthily and to engage with school. But we need to not lose track. We are bringing our children up to know about Jesus and to know how to live in Jesus' world. We're bringing our children up to know about Jesus and know how to live in Jesus' world. That's what he means by training and instruction, or discipline and instruction, or nurture and admonition, or however it is in your translation. That the Lord Jesus is at the center of family life. That there are aspects of teaching and training and discipline under God, showing our children this is Jesus and this is his world. That he is at the very center. But just think what that means. That it means we parent our children as Jesus has cared for us. Think how Jesus has cared for you. With grace and kindness and forgiveness. And yet with conviction and with discipline. That the Lord Jesus shows us what is right and wrong. And yet is patient and gracious when that is hard. And because Jesus is at the center, parenting is not a performance or a ranking. Maybe parents, you know this, you go to school and you think, how are my kids? Oh, my kids are much worse than those kids. Or my kids are much better than those kids. Don't nod. Don't have to admit it. I do that. Maybe you do it too. That's not what he's saying. That's not how Jesus weighs. Oh, they're doing better than they're not doing very well. That's not how Jesus sees us. That we are loved as parents and we love as parents out of his grace and his mercy. Loving our children as Jesus loved us. And I would remind us here that we, as parents, we are responsible for the input and not for the outcome. Okay, I want to say that again. We are responsible for the input and not for the outcome. Our calling is to bring our children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And what happens to the faith and in the hearts of our children, that is between them and God. And we just need to be really clear on this. That the Christian faith of your children is a decision that they have made before God. There is not a link between your parenting and their faith. And many godly, wonderful Christians have children who do not follow the Lord. It is not the outcome of what you did or didn't do. I've been a parent for 11 years. There's loads of things that we got wrong. There's loads of times I feel like a rubbish parent. That I've not bothered to point my kids towards Jesus like I have done. There's just things I look back on and I think I've failed. And if you've been a parent longer than I have, probably you feel like that too. And there might be things that we need to repent of. And opportunities missed and things we didn't do. But if our children are not believers, that is because they have chosen that path. That the responsibility lies with them. I can't imagine how hard that is. I long that my kids would know the Lord Jesus. But we don't need to add guilt to grief. We don't need to add shame to grief. That when people reject the Lord Jesus, it's because they have chosen to do that. And the Bible holds out hope, doesn't it? That people might reject the Lord Jesus for many years and then have their hearts open to him. That people look back upon their childhood and the life of their parents and circumstances push them back to God. And we pray as a church family for those we know who do not know the Lord Jesus. That we're here for one another in this. That we share the joys and the pains of this. That parents are part of this church family and grandparents and uncles and aunts and Sunday school teachers and all who pray for one another's family. That we pray and we share and we talk. That we are united in Christ Jesus in the joys and the sorrows. That the goal is to nurture our children in the Lord. But did you see, he does warn us, doesn't he? He warns us about exasperating our children. About making them angry. Now, obviously, I like to think that I am a very patient person. A very patient person. But it's funny how quickly my children can press the buttons. Anyone found that? Just like that. And I find that I'm not a patient person. And I pray that God would make me more patient. And what I want Paul to do is to say, children, do not exasperate your parents. Wouldn't it be much nicer if you wrote, children, do not exasperate your parents. Stop it. It doesn't say that. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. There's parents, especially as fathers, we have the authority and the power and every ability to be unfair and impossible and demanding and discouraging. Maybe you had a father who was like that, or a mother who was like that, just was impossibly demanding, easily irritated, disciplined with little thought of your heart. That is not the way that God fathers us, is it? That we parent with a sense of understanding. Our kids are really different. Okay, their hearts are really different. Their challenges are really different. And what will exasperate one will not exasperate the other, and the other way around. And we know that we are not called to be arbitrary or unreasonable. Sometimes Becca tells me, you're just making it hard for them to obey. And our job is to help our kids obey. That our job is to help them obey. Not to force them. That we discipline with the sense of who they are. And on good days in our house, we think, how can I help my kids obey? Okay, the Lord calls them to obey. How can I help them in that? How can I know them better and listen to them and care for them? So when I ask them to obey, it is not exasperating, but beautiful. Parenting is like tending a garden. It's not like breaking in a horse. Helping kids to understand their place in God's world. It is reasonable to expect our kids to be obedient. Okay, the Bible is really clear on that. It is okay to expect our kids to be obedient. It's not reasonable to expect them never to find that hard. Okay, it's reasonable for God to expect us to obey him. But he knows we find that hard. So we tell them the what and the why. We discipline them in God's ways, in God's world. That they're unique. And the way that we not exasperate them is unique. Not that they're in charge, or sometimes it feels like that. Not that they're in charge, not that they're ruling the roost. That we work hard to not exasperate them and to help them obey. One of the books I was looking at said, this passage rules out reactionary flare-ups, overly harsh words, insults, sarcasm, nagging, demeaning comments, inappropriate teasing, unreasonable demands. Pretty challenging stuff, isn't it? Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And I just want to say a word here specifically to grandparents. Okay, so specifically to grandparents, you guys, there are unique constraints on you, but a unique opportunity for you. So you are constrained in some ways, that it is not your job to be the parent of your grandchildren. And actually, from talking to those of you who are grandparents, that is really hard. That's really hard, isn't it? Except for bedtime when you want someone else to do the work. Maybe then it's not so hard. But it's really hard, isn't it? That you are not their parents. That your job is to encourage your children and your children-in-law in their parenting. To pray for them. To support them. To help them. To encourage them. But the responsibility for parenting lies with them. And how can you encourage them in this? For those of you with children who wouldn't say that they were Christian, that's especially hard, isn't it? But your role is to help them in their parenting. And again, an area where we need one another in wisdom. I don't know what I'm doing as a parent half the time. So we're going to have to help one another to be grandparents. But isn't there this incredible opportunity as grandparents? That you have this chance to get alongside as much as you're able your grandchildren. as much as you can, as much as you're permitted, to show them what the Christian life looks like. To be an influence for Jesus and speak for him where you can. It's great if you're able to bring your grandchildren along here. I know sometimes that happens. I know some of you would love to do that more. For some of you, that door seems shut. But just praying and seeking the chance to be in their lives, to have this unique relationship with them that no one else has. How could you take the time to invest in that? Just praying that God would open this door for you. But as we close, I wonder if there are people who listen to this like me and you feel like a failure. I failed as a child. I disobeyed. I didn't honor my father and mother. I ignored them. I certainly fail as a parent. Get angry with my kids. Get my priorities wrong. I exasperate them. Pretty sure when it comes to it, if it comes to it, I'll fail as a grandparent. But doesn't this bring us back to the whole point of this book? That it is a book for failures. To find grace and mercy and the power of God's Spirit to carry on. That the reason we can walk in love in parenting and grandparenting and in loving and supporting other parents is because God has given us his Holy Spirit. The egg that we broke being slowly glued and fixed and brought back together. Restoring the world under Christ. Wives and husbands, slaves and masters, children and parents. It starts with God putting us back together. And if all you do after this is try and be a better parent, then that's good, but we've kind of missed the point. And if all our children do after coming to church is to try and obey better, then that's good, but we've kind of missed the point. That we respond in love to God's amazing mercy. That before we are parents or grandparents or uncles and aunts, we are God's children. His workmanship, bowing the knee before the Lord Jesus. And then we teach them in him. That getting the Lord Jesus in the center is the first step to seeing your life restored. God's invitation to be his child. Let me read to you again from Ephesians 4. That puts our parenting in perspective. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's who we are in Christ. That we together are the body of Christ Jesus our Lord, loved by him, growing and built up. That we pray that we will be better parents and grandparents and children and church family. That Jesus is our head. That Jesus is our model. That Jesus is our Savior. And only in him do we have the Spirit's power to be who we're meant to be.